Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel meeting. I'd like to start tonight with hymn number 6 on our hymn sheets. God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. 'Twas for sinners Jesus died. Number 6. God in mercy sent his Son. Help and prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank thee that at the end of these day of meetings that we can turn and proclaim that great news of salvation, the story that captivated so many of our hearts and gave us life, made us thy children. And we're thankful to thee that we can proclaim that same message of love and thy grace to any who may yet be lost and in their sins here. We just pray that thou, by thy Spirit, would work through thy word tonight and convict any such that they would turn to Thee. We ask this in the name and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Tonight in the prayer for the gospel meeting, a brother mentioned that verse from Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. In his prayer, which says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so tonight, I am going to be preaching the gospel, but we'll be turning to verses from the word of God. Because it doesn't really matter whether I can persuade you or not, but the word of God is living and powerful and quicker than any two-edged sword. And so it is the word that we're going to preach tonight. And what I'm asking you to do right now is listen to the word of God. Because if you are lost and in your sins, this may be your last chance. And I want to just start in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now I'm going right to this verse because tonight we're going to talk about eternal realities, things that actually matter, unlike the vast majority of the news, or really unlike all of the news. These things are important. And we're going to talk about things that decide your fate for the rest of eternity. Not what you're going to be doing tomorrow or the rest of your life in this world, but things that are important. And you notice that as we read this verse, we read about a destiny. And that destiny is not good. It speaks here about a lake of fire. And it says here that it burns with fire and brimstone. It says it's the second death. This is a terrible place of torment, and it's set in contrast with the other place that Scripture talks about, which we call heaven. The next verses go on to speak a little bit about that. We'll talk about that later on. But I want to start with this, because this is the default position, if we could call it that. You do nothing, this is where you end up. People say, how is that fair? How can that be true for me? I'm a pretty good person. I'm not like these things. Look at this list. It's terrible. Abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. I'm not like that. Okay, fine. I'll grant you that. And tonight we're going to talk about the second thing on this list. And probably the first two are true of you. At the very least, fearful and unbelieving. You know, hell is going to be filled with people who perhaps only have these two sins in their life. Maybe they never did any of the rest. But these two things will be true of them. And it's my purpose to talk about the believing in Jesus Christ. And here, these are the ones who don't believe. And so I want to define some terms right in the beginning of this meeting. But we're talking about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in John chapter 16, in verse 8, the Lord Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit. And he said that he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Spirit of God is working in the world today to do exactly that, to convict. And if you will open your ear and listen to him tonight, that's what he's doing with you too, if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus as Savior. But it's that first one that I wanted to talk about, because in verse 9, the Lord Jesus went on to say, of sin, the Holy Spirit will convict of sin, because they believe not on me. That's what we're talking about. People believe all kinds of things in the world today, but they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe on Him as your personal Lord and Savior tonight, then this verse that we started with applies to you. That is your destiny. A lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. Awful. Something that never ends. This is what God says. This is not my word. This is the word of God. You know, in Malawi, I've talked to many people about where they're going to spend eternity. And I often start with asking them if they know. And most of them there have enough of a Christian background to say, well, I'm going to go to heaven. I say, well, how is it that you're going to go to heaven? And one after another, sadly, usually says something about what they're going to do or what they are doing. Somehow, that they are going to be good enough, keep the law. Many of them will say, well, I trust in Jesus Christ. Okay, that's a little closer. But I want to say tonight, it's not good enough. You say, how so? Doesn't the Bible say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? Yes, it does. The Bible says that. But there are so many people who believe in Jesus Christ the way they want to believe in Jesus Christ. And the Word of God does not allow for that. The Apostle Paul said when he was in Corinth, he said, when I was there, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so the Apostle Paul would know this among those people. The Lord Jesus Christ, that is His person, and Him crucified, that is His work. And I want to define terms right now at the beginning of this meeting, preach the gospel as simply as I can, that if you're going to trust in Jesus Christ, you have to trust in who He is and what He has done. There's no other way. The Lord Jesus said this Himself, and I want to go look at those verses. Let's go to John chapter 8. John 8, verse 24. And let's just read from the middle of the verse. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking when He was on earth. He says, if you believe not that I am, you see, He is in italics. It doesn't belong there. If you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. What is He speaking about here? He's referring back to Exodus chapter 3, where the Lord Jehovah God told Moses, you go and you tell the people that I am has sent you. He claimed for Himself that title as the ever-existing God. And when the Lord Jesus says these words in John chapter 8, He's saying that I am that same one. I'm the I am. And He says, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. You cannot come to Him without believing in who He is. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal God. God Himself, God the Son. He is the one who always existed and will always exist. Let's go down to verse 58, the end of the chapter. We'll go to verse 57. The Lord has spoken to him about Abraham having rejoiced to see his day in verse 56. And verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, the Jews were saying, how can you don't look old. How could you be old enough so that Abraham would see you? But the Lord wasn't talking about that. He was talking about something entirely different. If he had been that old, and he could speak that way, he would say, before Abraham was, I was. That's the only way we can speak and have it grammatically make sense. But when it comes to the eternal Son of God, he doesn't speak that way because he's not like us. He says, before Abraham was, I am. You go back a million years, I am. You go into the future, I am. He always is. And that's the one that we're presenting tonight. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, unless you believe on me as that I am, you will die in your sins. And so that's the starting point. We preach the person of Christ. And for the rest of this meeting, I want to take up the work of Christ. The Lord Jesus spoke of that too. I'll go back just a few chapters to John chapter 6. In John 6 and verse 53, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, what does that mean? Many have made strange doctrines out of it, but the Lord Jesus explains it clearly enough back in verse 47, because here he says in verse 54, he says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Go to verse 47, he says, he that believes on me has eternal life. He's talking about believing in him. And what he's saying here is you cannot believe in him just any way you want. You have to believe in him as to the truth regarding his work. And that truth, as we're going to go on to see, is that the Lord Jesus came to this earth as that perfect Lamb of God. And he gave up his life on the cross of Calvary, dying for the sins of people like me. And he shed his blood so that now, if a person like me would look to him in faith and believe on him, then I can have eternal life. And so can you if you believe on him tonight. There were others here who did not believe that way. There was one in John 3 who thought the Lord was a good teacher. Thank God later on that one came to see that he was far more than a good teacher. But I've met so many who think that the Lord Jesus is just a good teacher. They say, you have to follow Jesus and do what he says. And that's as far as they get. That won't help you. The Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's not enough. At the beginning of this chapter 6 of John, there were a lot of people who came to hear the Lord Jesus teach. And when it was over, he fed them. And they were very impressed by that. They said, wow, look at this. Here is someone that we can put faith in. This one can feed us. He can lead us against our enemies. Let's take him and make him a king. So he went away. They didn't believe on him. Not the way they had to be saved. That's why he says these things. It's not good enough to believe on the Lord Jesus as one who can do miracles and can do great things in your life. So many have told me, well, if I follow Jesus, I'll have a better life. That was their reason. It's true, but it's not enough. What is this life? We're talking about eternity. The verse we started about. That's where we're going if we don't trust in Jesus. Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you say, I don't see why it should be so. Why do I have to trust in Jesus Christ? Well, let's see what the Word of God says. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And skip down to verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is what God says. And notice it says, no, not one. There's no exclusions to this. God sees us in this way. You say, I'm not so bad. You know, that's your opinion. God has a different view. And this is God's view. And God says, there's not one righteous. Not a single one. Take all the people in this room. You may look up to some and say they're pretty good. No, there's not one. And so God takes up the case of all of us in these verses. Go down to the end of verse 19. It says, the middle of it says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. It's as if we're in a courtroom here and the indictment is laid out as to what is wrong with man, all of us. God passes a sentence, and that sentence is guilty, condemned. The whole world, nobody's left out. He goes on to say in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, I don't believe that. Surely there's another way. Maybe these verses say that. But I can't see how God would condemn me because I've been a pretty good person in my life. I want to tell you tonight, again, this is the Word of God. And it really doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter at all, actually, except as regards your future. What matters is the truth. A person may say, they're convicted by a judge. I'm sorry, Your Honor, I don't believe in jail. Okay? Ridiculous. What difference does it make? He's going there just the same. You might just as well say that to God. You can't get out of the judgment. You come to the edge of a cliff, 100 feet high, and you say, I don't believe in gravity. And you come right to the edge there and say, I'm going to step off the edge, and nothing will happen to me. Does your opinion matter? No, of course not. It's foolishness. You take one step, and you're dead. You know, Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And for very good reason. Because as people, we are like sheep. We follow in the path of others. We think there's safety in numbers. And there was a time that I read about when sheep did do this very thing that I spoke about. There was one sheep who came to the edge of a cliff. And it went over. There was 1,500 or so sheep, if I remember correctly, in that flock. All 1,500 of them went over. One after the other, dying as they hit the ground. But they just kept following and following and following. That's what it's like to follow others. Consensus of opinion doesn't help. The flood is adequate proof of that. The whole world perished except for a few at that time. And so it is again, the Lord Jesus says, the road that leads to destruction is broad. And wide is that gate, and many go in there. Don't follow in that. They say that of those 1,500 sheep, maybe the last 300 or so lived, because those bodies piled up, and after all, sheep is pretty soft. And so some of them survived, but there is no escape from this judgment. You have a chance now. You're living. You have a chance. We're preaching the gospel tonight because God loves you, and He wants you to hear yet one more time that there's an opportunity for you to be with Him in heaven and not go to that place. But once you die, once you step over that precipice, it's all over. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 27. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. It's appointed to die once, and then there's judgment. No more chance then. It's over. If you hear me now, you're alive. And you have a chance. And it might be your last chance. And so, you have this opportunity to come and to listen to the gospel and accept the Lord Jesus before you die. What will you do with it? You know, the problem is, as we read, with our sins, we saw that God convicted the whole world, called it guilty, you, me, all the rest, come short of the glory of God and guilty. And now God's holy, righteous nature can only require one thing, and that is that that sin that we committed be paid for. And the only way that that sin could be paid for was by the blood of an innocent victim. Just go back. Just a few verses, verse 22, middle of the verse, it says, without shedding of blood is no remission. That word remission means forgiveness. There's no forgiveness of sins before God without the shedding of blood. He requires it. His nature requires it. And in time past, God allowed that there should be animals, spotless animals, innocent, to be offered up for sin. But that never satisfied God. It never could. What good could an animal do for you or for me? But instead, God had to provide for Himself a sacrifice for us. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us all about that. Verse 4. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. Now, who's it talking about here? It's the Lord Jesus, the same one we read about in verse 28. It's following down from there. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly came into this world. And remember who we're talking about. The eternal mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the sustainer and upholder of all things, that glorious one came down, became a little lower than the angels, became a man, so that He might go to the cross and go down into the suffering of death. The Lord Jesus came here knowing it. God had prepared a body for Him. Why? As we've already talked about how God is a God of light, a God of holiness. and how God must punish sin, and he can have no sin in his presence. But that same God is a God of love, and he had a will that would reach out to man who were lost and bring them to himself and save them. And there was no way that he could do it except that one he loved so much, the Son of God, would do this thing, willingly come into this world and take on him a body prepared for him by God and go as that sacrifice for his blood to be shed. When he did come into the world and he began his earthly ministry, there was one who spoke about him. And one day, that one, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming to him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Here he was, now a man, the mighty God, but now as a man in this way, the Lamb of God, this spotless animal, a sacrifice that God could receive. And John spoke of him that way, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The Lord Jesus came for that purpose. And without him coming into this world to do that mighty work of salvation, not one of us had any hope at all. But because he did that, you tonight can have eternal life by believing on him. Will you do it? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53, because we must look at that work. Isaiah 53, verse 4. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." Verse 6, that one we talked about earlier. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Yes, it's true, we're like sheep. We've all gone astray, just following after others in the wrong way, led astray by a nature inside that is corrupt, following the world and all the excesses of lust there. Just like sheep. But the Lord Jesus knew all about that. And so he was willing to come and take on that body and to go and suffer for you and I. And if we're going to preach the gospel tonight, we must proclaim this part of what his work was, because you need to know it. God does not look on sin lightly, however lightly we may look on it. And at the beginning of this meeting, I said that the Word of God talks about the unbelieving. And I'm going to contend again that the only thing you can do tonight is believe. There's not one other thing you can do. And you say, as so many before you have said, how can it be that easy? My friend, it wasn't that easy. There was nothing ever in the history of this world that was harder than that God should forgive you or forgive me. We get the story of it here. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ everything. He had to pay for every sin I ever did, or ever would do, and every other one who believes on him. And you too, if you trust in him. And the price that he had to pay, we can never measure it. We can never know it. We get some idea of what it says here. Stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. says the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, the Lord knows everything that I ever did, every offense I ever committed. And thank God, because I can't remember them. But he knows them all. And he took them there and he put them on his Son. The Son of God had my sins placed upon him. And he bore them on the cross of Calvary so that I might live. Let's go to John chapter 19. We need to see when that happened. John 19 and verse 17. And he, the Lord Jesus, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And so there came that day when wicked men, just like you and me, I'm sure they thought they were good people too, they took this blessed, holy Son of God, the only perfect man who ever lived, they took him and they put him on the cross. They thought they would get rid of him. God knew all about it. The Lord Jesus said those words in eternity, "Behold, I come to do thy will, O God." There was no question about it in his mind. He knew from eternity what he was going to go to do. Fulfill the love of God, all God's will, so that God's love could go out freely to you and I. And so the Lord Jesus allowed them to hang him there on the cross. They could never have touched him, even while those soldiers drove the nails into his hands. He was giving them their breath. He was holding their bodies together, causing them to continue in their life. That's the person that we're talking about, and that is the love that he had for you. That's the love of God shown out and proved in a way that nothing else could show it. And that's the love of God we want to proclaim to you tonight. That's a love worth trusting in. One who would die for you when even now you're his enemy. He didn't mind. We'll never know what it cost him. If you could suffer for your sins to the end of eternity, you could never pay for them all. But here in 3 hours, the Lord Jesus suffered. And he suffered in a way that we could never know. Not just for you, not just for me. But he suffered infinitely more than that because he was perfectly holy. And he felt that sin in a way that we never could. And so he bore that punishment of God until all of the wrath of God was exhausted against our sins. And then we get to the end of that story. And it's also here in this chapter. Verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Verse 35. Spirit of God caused the Apostle John to write these words precisely as they are. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. We preach tonight Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's your only hope. It's my only hope. We have nothing else to preach. You remember in Hebrews chapter 9, it says, without shedding of blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness of sins. And so here, that Lamb of God was slain in his love for you and me, and his love for his Father, to do all the will of God. And now his blood is shed. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. That blood came out of the side of a dead Christ. And God looked on that blood, and the value of that blood is so great that now, as he said in the Old Testament, I will pass over you. All of our sins are covered in that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you trust him tonight, your sins are gone. That blood has taken care of all of it. He paid the price. Remember what he said? The last words here? It is finished. Verse 30. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You know, the Lord Jesus didn't just happen to die then. I've often explained it this way in Malawi. You can take me and you can go fill a pail of water right over here, and you can get a couple guys together and overpower me and stick my head in there, and it doesn't matter what I want to do. Within approximately 2 or 3 minutes, I'm dead. I have no power over my spirit. But it's not true of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody could take his life from him. He said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again. This one, when the work was finished, he said it was finished. And he laid down his life. He went into death. It was necessary that he should die. God required that that victim die and that his blood be shed. And so the Lord Jesus voluntarily not only paid for your sins and mine, but he went down into death. And he allowed that soldier to come and pierce his side. And so that all of the will of God might be fulfilled. And now the love of God can go out full and free to anyone who trusts in him. There's a man that I met one day as we were drilling a well in Malawi. And I got to talking to him, and he said, you know, I used to be a drunkard, and I was doing so many bad things in my life, living in all immorality. But there came a day, he said, when I heard a man preach. And he said, I listened to that one and what he said. And through that one, I saw the power of God. And he said, I can tell you that God has power. And I'm absolutely convinced of it. And I'm committing my life to that cause. I said, that's very nice. That sounds like a good thing. But what about John 3:16? Have you heard him speak about that? He said, no, I can't say that I ever heard him speak about that. What is that verse? And so we went to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And we talked about that for a little bit. He thought it was enough to follow on. And so we talked about the gospel. And he listened for a little bit, and this is what he said. He said, that sounds like it's important. Maybe I should pay more attention to that. But let me tell you something. I saw this man one day come into a hospital, and there was a lot of kids there, all sick, and he said, tomorrow I want this place emptied out. And you know, I went back there the next day, and it was empty. He said, I've seen the power of God. I devote my life to that cause. That was it. He didn't want to talk anymore about the gospel. I suppose he continues on still in that way. The hardest thing is to admit that God is right and we are wrong, and come in the simplicity of faith and trust in Christ alone. If you haven't done it tonight, perhaps you've heard the gospel many times before, but there's some hindrance. And very often I find it's that people think that it's still something they can do. I've thought about it this way. If you say to me, well, I need to go to England. How can I get to England? I tell you, okay, fine. I know how you can go to England. Come with me to New York City, and we'll go out in the Hudson River, and there's a nice pier there. And you get out on the end of this pier, and you jump off. And you start swimming. And you swim, and you head east. And if you swim long enough, you will get to England. Now, is that true? Yeah, it's true. Can you do it? No, of course not. And that's the problem with doing things. There was a man who came to the Lord Jesus one day in Luke chapter 10. A lawyer, he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So the Lord tells him, he couldn't do it. He had already broken God's law. The man failed utterly. So will everyone else. And so another human religion comes along, because that's what all the religions of the world are, you know. Only two, right? There's do, and there's done. Tonight we preach done. The Lord Jesus said, it is finished. And so there's nothing left to do, only trust in him. And so another religion comes along and says, well, forget the Hudson. Over here on the East River, I have a pier that's closer to England. You jump off this pier. That's all it is. You take the thoughts of man, that's all it is. Somebody else may offer you a wetsuit. God says, I have a boat. You get in this boat, you will arrive safe at England. God says, believe in Christ. There is no other hope. You must believe in him. There was another man that I knew in Malawi. He was actually very well respected among the believers there. And a good friend of mine, I thought he was the Lord's. We had a week of gospel meetings. At the beginning of that week, I found out that he wasn't saved. He had gone on as a leader among Christians for many years. Also, at the beginning of that week, he discovered he wasn't saved. And that man was miserable. And that whole week, he listened to the gospel. And through it, he understood that everything he had been pinning his hopes of eternity on were useless. He saw it from the Word of God. The end of the week came. He was still miserable. The next week we went to another place. We had another week of gospel meetings. That man was there. On the second day of those meetings, he came. Now his face was different. He was beaming. He said, "So many have come and preached the gospel here before. I've heard it so many times, but I never understood." He said, "Now I see that it's not my works, but I see what John 3:16 means. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And he grabbed onto that verse and he held it to this day. If you hear Samson Kamwendo preach the gospel, he's going to preach from that verse. That verse is life and death to him. And he is life. Moses said that, you know. "I set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." And that man chose life. He trusted in Jesus Christ and received him as his Lord and Savior, that simply. And so can you tonight. All you need to do is believe on him, who he is, the eternal Son of God, that one who came into this world so that he might seek and find you because you were lost. That one who gave his life a ransom for many, and that many includes you if you trust on him. And that one who died and shed his blood to wash away all your sins. And simply looking to him in faith and believing settles the entire issue before God, so that now you have no fear of going to that place that we began our meeting with tonight. The lake of fire is for the unbelieving. When you trust in Jesus Christ, you are forever removed from that place. In hell, there will be people that are guilty of every one of those sins. In heaven, there will be people who are guilty of every one of those sins too. Except for one. That is, none of the ones in heaven will be unbelieving. That sin separates going from heaven from going to hell. That is the difference. That's why the Lord Jesus said, "Of sin, because they believe not on me." One further verse, Romans chapter 4. Verse 5. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." I don't know how to put it in any simpler terms than this. The one that doesn't work, lay all their deadly doing down, and it is deadly. That's a song, you know. Perhaps you've heard it, that we have in our hymn book. To take up works and try to do anything to attain merit before God for your salvation is deadly. That effort ends in one place, and it's that lake of fire. He says, "To him that worketh not, but believeth on him," that's God, "who does what? He takes ungodly people and justifies them." He says, "His faith is counted for righteousness." When it comes to you, and when it comes to me, it couldn't be easier. It is simple. We just have to get over ourselves. That's where repentance comes in. Turn away from our thoughts and accept what God says about us. And turn in simple faith, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to believe on him. The gospel is no harder than that.
We can't make it any more complicated than that because the Lord Jesus has done everything. And tonight, all we have to do is proclaim Him. And you must believe on Him. Let's close in prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for that one that Thou hast given for the object of our faith. We thank Thee for His mighty work on Calvary's cross, and that He finished all that work that Thou didst give Him to come here into this world and do. We thank Thee for the salvation that we have through Him, and we continue to pray for any who are lost and in their sins here. We pray that by Thy Spirit Thou would open up their hearts, that Thy Word would be effectual there, that there would be someone tonight who would pass from darkness to light, from death to life. We just pray and ask this in the name and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.